answer on this one.
What is something that you're waiting for?
Jesus. Amen.
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 So, are you growing?
Yes.
Yes.
How?
By Jesus. Jesus.
Jesus makes you grow.
Yeah, Jesus does make you grow.
What are you waiting for? Is it something that you're waiting for?
Yeah, the Velociraptor. My Velociraptor is coming.
Yeah, it is coming. And, like, I'm pretty sure in a long time. I was going to check the mail. I'll do it after this video.
Anything else you're waiting for?
I'm waiting for iPad time.
Yeah, iPad time.
What's the biggest thing that you waited for that you finally got?
I don't really know because we get lots of things and we can't decide what is the best and what's not really. We can't really decide because we've got lots of things from the mail and lots of other stuff.
I would just say my golden velociraptor. That was really cool.
Do you think waiting for God is going to be worth it?
Maybe.
Yes. I'm lost.
Where do you want to grow more in your life?
Where do I want to grow more?
Or what do you want to grow? What area do you want to grow in?
My bed.
Grow in your bed?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, do you usually grow in your bed?
When you're sleeping?
Yeah, you usually grow every day.
I meant like what area of your life, not like...
Physically?
Yeah. Mentally or spiritually or mentally?
Mentally, what does that mean?
Your brain?
But your brain does grow by learning stuff.
Yes, it does.
Learning math and stuff.
Ow. This can go more down. I hope you can hear me better. Whoever's watching this show right now.
Why did Lucy put her lips on this? I actually put her, the goose, bruh.
Really? You.
That's disgusting. Wait, really, I can see her spit on it.
Wait, I need to see.
It's kind of hard to see. Ugh.
Can you guys say the intro for us? Aloha and welcome to Amen Podcast.
I'm Lukilani, your host, and in this episode, my husband Alex is preaching about...
the parable of the weeds. We're going to be diving into what this parable means, and it's going to be a good one. I'm excited. It was really encouraging to talk about this all week with Lukilani and the kids, and after the message, we have a little question for you. And Lukilani will meet up again with you to go over that question and apply it to your life. But we are in Matthew chapter 13, 24 through 30. So let's jump into it.
He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds, among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds also appeared. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servants said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned. But gather the wheat into my barn.'"
This parable is all about waiting and growing and what it means to be in the kingdom of God. And so let's jump into the who, what, when, where, why, and how of this parable. Verse 24, "He put another parable before them." Them is the disciples. And he says to them, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. That's what this is all about. There's a good sower, which is God, who plants good seed, the wheat, which is the Christians, into the field. The enemy, which is Satan, comes and he plants his own seeds, weeds, sons of the devil, among the wheat. So in that, we get the who, the what, the when, and the where. And then we'll jump into the why and the how. You know, he's talking to the disciples about the kingdom of heaven, and when the enemy comes in and plants evil, plants his own children, plants these poisonous children among God's children. Where? In life. In the field, it says in verse 24, in the world. This is what life looks like. The wheat and the weeds growing together. The righteous and the poisonous growing up together. Mm-hmm. Why? Let's get into that. Why is life this way? Why can't life just be better? And that's definitely the question that Jesus is going to answer for the disciples, because they thought a lot of the time that Jesus was going to come as this Messiah that they had heard stories about, that they grew up believing in, kind of like a superhero figure in their life, that would come and do away with Rome, do away with all the bad guys, and set up his heavenly kingdom right then and there on earth. They didn't expect that to be the second coming of Christ. They wanted that to just be the first coming. Jesus is going to do that. And how that looks, we'll get into in later episodes. But the first coming of Christ was him coming as a baby in human flesh, truly God, truly man, and being the sacrifice for our sins. And it didn't look like what Judas and maybe some of the other disciples wanted it to look like. They wanted a change now, a big change now. And they wanted to rule with him. Mm-hmm. But Jesus is saying it's going to look a lot different. It's going to look a lot different. Here's why. Verse 26, so the plants came up and bore grain, and the weeds appeared. Verse 27, the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, Master, they're talking to, you know, the master is God. Did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds? He said to them, an enemy has done this. He says, Satan has done this. The devil has done this. So the servants said to him, then do you want us to go and gather them? But he said, no. Notice he says, no. And he's going to tell us, he already told us why this is happening. Why are there poisonous tares, your Bible might say, or weeds? Tares, weeds, they translate into the word darnel, which is just a poisonous plant that looked very similar to wheat in the early stages of development. But it says in verse 26 that once the good plants bore grain, then it was evident that the weeds were there. They could see the difference between the two. And so he tells us, why is it like this? It's because the enemy has done this. That's why there's evil in the world. That's why there's bad things happening in the world, because of sin, and also because the enemy has his own workers, his own children, mm-hmm. his own sons and daughters that he's planted lies in their hearts, and they believe it. They've been deceived. Mm. So that's why this is happening. And then he says, no, I don't want you to pull up the weeds. Here's why. Lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. In trying to get the bad, you end up messing up the good. So don't do that. He tells them not to. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into the barn. So why does Jesus say no? Why does he say, no, we'll wait till the harvest? There is, in saying no, there's three main things that he's teaching us about what it means to be the wheat, the good seed of God, the good seed in the kingdom of God, the children of God. What it means is these three things. Number one, we are given no insulation. Insulation is what you put on the inside of a house. In Hawaii, we don't have it, you know. There's reasons for that. I don't know why. I'm not a contractor. But in the mainland, there's this pink insulation that they put in the walls to keep the hot house hot or warm house warm and the cool house cool. It insulates the house to keep the temperature. Christians aren't given that. There's wheat, and they're, and amongst the wheat, the devil has planted weeds. Mm-hmm. There's no barrier in between the wheat and the weeds. The poisonous wheat grows up right next to the wheat. There's no insulation. We're not given that. Don't you see? Christianity is not, you know, a soft religion. You know, we're not given this like kiddie pool experience. We're not given this like bowling with bumpers kind of experience. We're thrown to the deep end. We're not given insulation. It's not cozy and comfy and temperature regulated. It's hard at times. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's what it means to be wheat. Toughness, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. That's what Christians are called to. It's supposed to be hard. It's not going to be easy. Why? We have an enemy. The second thing that we see that we're not given is isolation. And so there's groups of people in Christianity that just become extremists, and they say, we can't do this. We can't watch that. We can't be here. We can't do that. We can't be with these kind of people. And they go to an extreme, and that we're not given that liberty from Christ. The wheat is growing right next to the weeds. Wheat doesn't uproot itself and walk away from the weeds. It just grows where it is. And so protect yourself, protect your mind. You know, remember, you are wheat, you're not weed. You know, you are producing grain, you're not producing poison. And so we'll get into that. There's ways to live as wheat and not as weed. But remember, wheat are not given the liberty to isolate themselves, to just walk away. They have to grow where they are, among the wheats. And look, the master doesn't step in and say, let me remove the wheat from the weeds. He's saying there's going to come a time where he does that. Now, the last thing that we're not given is indefiniteness. When something is indefinite, it means it's like exact. Like we know exactly, it's indefinite. We know for sure exactly what this is. We're not given that. We're not given like, at first, the wheat and the weeds, they all look the same. You know, and back then, rival farmers, they would do this to harm each other's crop. You know, maybe during the night, like the enemy does in our text, in verse 25, a farmer comes and plants weeds among the wheat to destroy it, to just get rid of their crop, to make it, you know, to keep them from being able to make a profit. And it's an evil thing to do, but at first you can't really tell the difference. And so the farmer could walk outside, see his wheat full, like just seeing tons of plants everywhere. So many plants, you can't even see the dirt in between, the soil in between, and think, wow, this is going to be a great harvest this year. And lo and behold, there is way more weed than wheat. That may happen. Or there may be 50-50. Either way, we're not given definiteness. We are called to do what? To grow and wait. That is the message that Jesus is trying to give the disciples. He's saying, I know my Messiahship, and I know the kingdom of heaven is different, is coming off as different to you than what you expected. I know that a lot of the teaching that I'm giving and the things that I'm doing in the synagogues may be hard for you to stomach. And I know maybe some of the responsibility that I've given you may be hard, but all I'm calling you to do is to wait and to grow, to be wheat. And no, I'm not giving you insulation. I'm not giving you isolation. I'm not giving you indefiniteness. I'm giving you the encouragement to know that the master is good. He knows what he's doing. He's going to send the reapers to harvest the good and burn the bad. That day is coming. I'm giving you that promise. That day is coming. But in the meantime, the in-between time, you are called to grow and wait in the midst of ambiguity, in the midst of an evil world, a dark world, knowing that the day is coming where it's all going to be gone away with. Mm-hmm. So what does growing and waiting do? Growing, when the grain is produced, you know the difference between the wheat and the weeds. So that tells us that waiting and growing produces righteousness. It produces fruitfulness. It produces glory for God.
Mm-hmm.
And in the glory of God, we are most satisfied. Waiting and growing, it gives glory to God, which thus satisfies you. And it gives you the freedom to just be wheat.
Mm.
You know, sometimes we want to look at the Bible and we want to make ourselves main characters in this parable. We want to make ourselves the main characters. Maybe I'm the servant. Maybe I'm the reaper. Maybe I'm the sower. Maybe I'm the enemy. And in a couple episodes, we're going to talk more about, you know, these moving parts of this parable. We're going to dive into this parable again as Jesus explains it to the disciples. But we have to remember that we are wheat. So we need to grow like wheat. What does that mean? Just waiting on God. How do you do that? How is your time with the Lord? You know, growing, A.W. Tozer says, growing in holiness, it means spending time with God, not just intending on spending time with God. We like to make plans and buy journals and to think about, you know, our quiet time without actually really doing it. Making the decision to grow in holiness means making the decision to meet with God. You know, I had an incident this week where, you know, I started reading my Bible and I was like, okay, I should pray. And so I got down on my knees and I prayed. And as soon as I hit my knees, the Holy Spirit just started convicting me of things. And I was like, whoa, where is this coming from? And I had to repent. I had to like actually talk to some people in my life about that repentance. That happens because of, as a result of holiness, which is happening when you're meeting with God. And so this is how you wait and grow. Jesus in another text tells us that producing fruit is all about abiding in him. This is what the wheat is doing. It's abiding in the soil, mm-hmm. in the midst of entanglements and evil and all this stuff, these weeds moving around under the soil. What is the wheat doing? It's there and it's growing and it's waiting and it's abiding in the nutrients of the soil, taking in the sun. It's just being wheat. And that's what we're called to do. What we're waiting on when we wait is we're waiting on the wisdom of God. You know, the master says, no, don't do that, lest you pull up the good with the bad. So that's telling us what? The master has a plan. The master has wisdom. The master has workers, angels. Hebrews tells us that these angels, they serve the people of God. And we're just called to wait. Waiting on the wisdom of God. Because the world, because the weeds are so entangled with the wheats, that's why we have to wait on the wisdom of God. Because we could, you know, he's saying that it's going to be hard to be a wheat at times. Mm. And so I have a plan. I know what I'm doing. I'm giving the wheat what they need to grow because they're my children. So just be wheat. Just be wheat. And so then the nutrients we need to grow and to give, to make fruit, to make grain, to glorify God so we can be satisfied. It just comes from being a wheat. It just comes from waiting on the wisdom of God. Whatever situation that you're in, waiting and growing will give you the wisdom that you need to work out whatever problems in your life. Just wait like wheat and grow. Mm. This is what Jesus did. He's the perfect example of what wheat, you know, needs to be like. He waits and he grows. The Bible says he grows in wisdom and in stature in the book of Luke. We see him all throughout his life of ministry, waiting and moving where God is telling him to go, not taking any steps, any directions on his own. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he is waiting for an answer and saying, God, if there's any other way, let, you know, take this cup of suffering from me, yet not my will, your will be done. There he is waiting on God, not taking matters into his own hands, waiting on God. And what was the answer that he got? The cross. He still had to go. So he said, not my way, not my will, your will be done. On the cross, he's saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? He's waiting, you know, because he is taking the punishment that the weeds deserve, even though he is the wheat. Mm-hmm. In order for us to become like this wheat in this story, to be harvested by God, to give, to produce grain and glory, someone had to be harvested like a weed. Someone had to be burned up, someone perfect and righteous in our place. And so he teaches us what it looks like to wait. And then he died and he waited for God to raise him. And God rose him. And we are, and what does that grain produce? It produces bread. Jesus calls himself the bread of life in the book of John. And so because Jesus waited like wheat perfectly, God rose him from the dead, and now we're still eating from his goodness.
Wow.
What does bread do? Carbs. They energize you. You know, they fill you. And is that not what he does for us? Mm-hmm. And so you see, you know, what you're missing out on when you just, when you scroll instead of spend time with God, when you do whatever it is you do, you know, whatever it is I do, instead of spending time with God. You know, I'm going to try to practice something, and that is like bringing my Bible around more places with me. You know, it's like, what if we, you know, and I'm not going to try to be weird or whatever, but like, what if we carried our Bibles as much as we carried our phones or our purses or our wallets? You know, what if it was just something that was always with us? What if that marked the life of a Christian? And when we spend time with him, when we go to him in our word, we will be eating of the bread of life. We will be, you know, hungry no more, you know, and he's already in us. He's already living inside of us. His words are already inside of us. And so our hunger, our eternal spiritual hunger is gone, but we still need to come back and eat of him and fill ourselves with him.
Yeah.
That's what it means to wait and to grow, to just abide, to make time with him, to keep going back to him. And so the question is, in your life, where is God asking you to wait? Where do you need to grow? I want to ask that question to you, and I want to hear from you guys in the comments, and Lokilani is going to answer too. Where do you need to wait and grow? And let me just pray for us. Father, thank you so much for just a simple message, God, that you are encouraging us with, and that is just to be like wheat. And we ask, God, that you would help us to grow, help us to wait by looking at your son who modeled that for us perfectly and gives us the power through his spirit to do the same. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen. I'll answer first as always. And I guess mine is kind of just like a follow-up to last week's episode with perseverance, whereas God asking me to wait and grow is to remain where we're at. I kind of shared how, you know, just hearing how there's a lot of hatred towards Christianity, not by everyone on the islands, but in certain areas. And some of that being because there was bad things that happened in the name of Christianity, and that happens everywhere. You know, we see that within the church, we see churches falling. And so, there's a ton of reasons for that. I'm not really going to get into that, but just waiting and growing where I'm at and using the opportunity to be here to continue to grow in character, you know, continue to bear fruit, which is growing in character. And being salt and light and considering the needs of others as more important than my own. So serving the people around me, being a joy to be around. And that all comes from as Alex was saying, waiting and growing, growing in the word, choosing to prioritize that so that we can bear fruit, so that we can be effective and bring help and not harm to the places that we're at. And I love that we're going to dive into this parable even more in a few episodes when Jesus explains it. But I just like one picture we saw, like this short, and this girl was showing wheats and tares, wheats and weeds, and how the weeds kind of like bent down a little bit in humility, and the tares just stuck straight up. The weeds just stuck straight up. Sorry, we haven't been referring it to as tares in this episode, so that's probably confusing, but the weeds, tares, same thing. Like kind of like in pride. And I think as Christians, we can operate like the world in pride with the truth instead of embodying the fruits of the Spirit and choosing to serve in humility, choosing to have self-control, to be patient, to be loving, to be kind. And we operate like the world operates, but in the name of truth. And so, I don't know, this is just an encouragement meant to me, like seeing like, okay, we're going to live amongst evil in the world, but how do we separate ourselves from the way that the world looks? Because if we're acting just like them about the issues that we stand for, it's not going to be effective, you know? I think that's where he wants me to wait and grow, is just to continue to pursue him and his word so that my heart can change and I can embody the type of character that really, makes people think like, huh, maybe this Christianity thing is not what everyone lies about it being, you know, or what I've perceived it to be. So, yeah.
So good. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, it's a good imagery with the wheat and the tares of humility versus pride and what it looks like to be in the kingdom of God and what it looks like to be wheat, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. And yeah, I just think of just his protection, I guess, of us, you know, like he said, no, it's not time to tear up the wheat. It's not time to remove the weeds like we do in our backyards, you know. It's like, it's almost like he's saying, this is not going to destroy you living here in this world, because he is our providence. He's the one who has finished the work on the cross for us. And if we remain in him, we'll be fine. You know, we'll be able to withstand the evil of this world and the suffering that comes with being a part of a fallen world. And I think that's just really beautiful and encouraging, because like you said, that like, it doesn't isolate. And sometimes we tend to want to isolate so that we don't have to do the hard things and work amongst unbelievers, you know, but that's who he was around, because that's who he was trying to reach. And so we still have work to do, you know? Yeah.
Amen. We love you guys. Thank you for listening. And if you want to support this podcast, amenpodcast.com/donate. And with that said, thank you guys. Like, subscribe, rate, review. See you in the next one.
Yeah. And until then, go out and be the church.
Amen.